Down to Business on Newstalk.
Thanks to Bank of Ireland, helping you deal with the business of Brexit.
Now, getting a new job is usually some of the best news that you'll ever receive. But how do you go about joining a new company and a new team during a pandemic, especially if you're working from home and you've never met your new boss or colleagues? Well, to help us guide us through this challenging new phenomena is Gina London. She's a former CNN anchor and Sunday Independent journalist. Good morning to you, Gina.
Good morning to you, Bobby.
How are things?
You know what? Things are virtual.
They certainly are. Now, listen, I had first-hand experience of this with some of my own kids starting jobs that had never, ever got to go into the office or meet the people. Is it kind of like a first date, Gina, that you really want to leave a positive first impression?
Well, it's like online dating in the sense, you know, you're interviewing, you're onboarding, you're beginning to join an organization, and you've never seen the people that you're working with feet, because we're all little boxes right now. And it's really tricky. And I think that there's a lot of things that people can still do when they're starting a new job during lockdown, during remote working. And I think one of the first things, because as you mentioned, former CNN, I'm used to being a broadcaster, but we're all broadcasters now, Bobby.
I know.
We have to get into this.
That's the problem.
That's it. It's the problem. And so it's the opportunity. How do you set yourself apart? How do you work visibly in an organization when you're not in an office? And this is one of the things that now that I have my company, The Language of Leadership, where I'm speaking and coaching and developing people in organizations, how to engage and how to manage teams and support teams during this time through purposeful communications, it's time to take ownership about your own things that you can control remotely. So one of the things when you're starting a new job in lockdown is take that see me attitude and not a wait and see approach. And this really matters in person as well as remotely, but it means just don't rely on your productivity, work visibly. So even if your organization doesn't require it, try to turn your camera on when you're coming into a virtual meeting. And still, I know a lot, many of us have slacked off and the culture's even allowed it, but try to dress as if you're coming into the office, at least from the waist up.
Yeah.
Because if you feel sharp, you're going to act more sharply.
I think that's an interesting one. Again, that, you know, there is a tendency for complacency to set in there about how one would present themselves because, you know, you're remote and you're not interacting. So I think that's a good one. But does one need to be careful, Gina, about, you know, when no one knows you, like if you just think about this practically. So I've started this new job. Nobody knows me. And I don't really want to be annoying, fellas. I don't want, you know, if I'm contacting people saying this is who I am, the person doesn't know me. You know, is it a bit awkward?
Yeah, it can be awkward. But that's why, again, I think it's important for us to take everyone to take ownership that don't rely on managers to lay this out for you. Because again, if you're in that wait and see approach, you're probably going, everybody else is going through this concerning feeling of what they're trying to do. And they might not have you top of mind. So it's still okay in a kind way to ask for even a contact list of your team and your department from your supervisor, and then go ahead and reach out one by one in a kind way and try to really make them, this is an important thing, don't always reach out to people on email, because email's up like 60% right now. And a lot of my clients, my executive clients, are saying they're overwhelmed with the amount of email they've got to go through. So try to find a more convenient communications platform and just ask for a 5 to 10 minute introduction call. You don't have to make these 30 to 60 minute blocks that are going to overwhelm your colleagues and they're going to avoid you. But you can aim for short and sweet and then begin to track who they are. This is really important. Make yourself a little grid of who they are, what they talk about in your introduction. Is it all business? Do they start talking about their family situations? If they mention their kids, write those kids' names down. If they mention a dog, write the dog's name down. Because what you're trying to do is build your internal network and relationships in a virtual way. And it's going to seem that it's contrived, but you've got to take some kind of control and make things structured so that over time you really can begin to develop relationships even though they're virtually.
And is it a good idea maybe to go on a meeting 5 minutes early or stay 5 minutes late and just chit-chat with people about whatever?
If they're up for it, absolutely. The problem is that right now, many of us are scheduling our Zoom meetings or whatever platform you're on back to back. And that's tricky because even I would advise to people that are doing this type of thing, build yourself in a 10-minute comfort break so you can go take a quick walk outside or you can use the loo. These types of things, some of my clients are saying they're working longer hours in these Zoom calls are going back to back to back. But if you can find just a couple of minutes here and there, if you are a new employee, especially to try to get to know your environment, because you're not seeing everybody in that physical office environment, to begin to know the personalities of the people. If you've got a team where someone's a real clock watcher and you've got someone who's a little more amenable to helping you, you need to try to learn who those people are so that you can go and ask questions. Because I think the feeling, Bobby, of people being isolated and they, when they're hired on, they know they've got a task to do and they've been given this autonomy. But autonomy doesn't always mean that you can't ask questions. And sometimes people feel like, well, they've trusted me to do things on my own, so I'm not going to ask. Do ask, because you don't want to be inefficient and running around trying to find the answers if you could just ask a question of someone.
What about from an employer's perspective, Gina, in terms of indoctrinating people into the culture of a business? That's also challenging.
It is challenging. And one of the things that employees, thankfully, this was progressing anyway, but it's accelerated during the time of COVID, is being companies being very aware that they need to recognize their employees' achievements and pay attention to their well-being more frequently and more ongoing than maybe they had before. So if you are an employer, it's not just process and projects and productivity. The number one important thing is people. So I would encourage you to spend the one-on-ones and rotate those one-on-ones. Have your conversations regularly and do pay attention to what your colleagues or your employees are not saying as much as what they are saying. So listening is incredibly important right now for employers. Asking open-ended questions, giving employees time to actually share what's on their mind, because their well-being is going to really impact their productivity. So this type of culture shift, like I mentioned, was already happening, is really something that I hope is codified as we go into the future of work, as we come out of this and the hybrid happens. Don't forget your well-being and make sure to pay attention to your employees.
And finally, I don't know if you saw, Gina, but we're looking at legislation now around people having the right to at least ask for remote working. What did you make of all that around the media this week?
Oh, absolutely. Now, the new remote workers legislation, which goes beyond the EU's own directive on work-life balance, Bobby, it's wisely bringing the Irish government into the current business conversation of the work-life balance, or integration, as we're calling it these days, question. I think it's a good start. Digital hubs and co-working spaces are all part of this future hybrid model that I wrote about in my first Sunday Independent column this month. But it's also really important that reliable broadband allows the people to be able to have their location not be an issue as much as the skills. So I am curious about the details of that. And I'm also curious about the details of the right to disconnect, because that's going to be tricky to get specific agreement on how to track and enforce that. But like any legislation or business policy, I'm a big believer, Bobby, in incremental steps toward building change. So I think it's a great start.
Well, as always, a refreshing look at the world of a remote worker. That's Gina London there, former CNN anchor and Sunday Independent journalist.